You see, our trouble today is patience. We talked about enduring last week. This is another aspect of that endurance. We have a hard time persistently coming before God and making our requests known, that we have a tendency to want to throw up our hands or try something else along the way. And so we hear Jesus telling us in our gospel reading to pray always and do not lose heart. Endure, have patience, persist. And we need these instructions, these commands, because this is difficult for us. It does not come easily or naturally for us to persist in prayer when things aren't going the way we want them to go. Here's something similar in our second reading today as well, that we are to engage in teaching with utmost patience. We are to instruct folks in the way of the Lord and to share with them God's perspective, no matter how many times they stray, no matter how many times they go after other things, no matter how often their ears are tickled or itching in such a way that they go after other teaching, we are to persist, to patiently endure in this offering of God's perspective in the world. And to be honest, I think these two issues of patience are related. We can begin with God and our relationship with God, that we ask God for things because we are sure that we have an understanding of how things should be. And we tell God the world is not right, and we know how to fix it. And so if God would just listen to our pleas, our petitions, the world will function the way that it should. And often that's going to mean it will function on our terms, that we want God to agree with our pronouncements of what is right and what is wrong. We want God to side with us in our understanding of the world. And so we want God to come to the same conclusions that we would do in terms of, you know, who in the family was the first one at fault? Who was the one to throw the first blow? We want God to stand with us in terms of which side the political aisle is correct, of what things should be done socially and from a governmental standpoint. We want God to side with us about who the aggressor was and who should be put down and who is the victim and who is the oppressor. And of course, as we have these perspectives, we think that of course God would sanction what we think. Of course God would stand with us and tell us that this is right and true. And therefore, because we are so certain that God is on our side and what we are thinking, believing, and acting upon is exactly 100% correct, we then want others to agree with our understanding of the truth. We will tell people God is saying these things, and we'll be very frustrated with others when they tell us that they have a different idea or a different perspective, or they go off down different paths, and we will not have utmost patience for them in our teaching and our instruction. Indeed, they will quickly be fed up with these others who will seem to not pay attention to what we know is true. And so our frustration and our impatience can happen for a variety of reasons. Sometimes it's because we've said the same thing to the same people even over and over and over again, and we are tired of it. So if they haven't gotten it by now, there's no way they're ever going to get it. They're just lost causes. They have wrong perspectives. They want to persist in wrong visions of the future, or they have the wrong facts. I've tried to teach them. I've done the best that I could, but I'm done. I'm walking away. And so that's not, of course, the ability to offer teaching with utmost patience. We have another challenge in that as well, where there's times that what we need to explain is more complicated and complex than we have time for. And so we just throw up our hands and we say, if I can't explain it all to you, if you just can't get it and agree with me, then we're done here. And of course, this too wears us down in terms of being able to offer instruction with utmost patience. But as some of you have probably guessed already, the core problem here is that we think we're right. That we think our understanding of good and evil, of justice and injustice is accurate. Which, of course, why wouldn't we? It makes sense to us. But we think God would sign off on this. And I think it's Jeremiah who reveals to us the truth. That if we were to ask God for justice, if we would want God to relate to us in a purely render justice sort of way, it is going to mean our destruction. It is going to mean that we are plucked up and pulled down. This is what the people in exile experience. They are experiencing God's justice. They have broken the covenant. They have not been faithful. Their understanding of right and wrong was flawed. Their understanding of what was just and unjust was inaccurate. And God's perfect understanding of justice is now levied against them. And so, of course, we hear this, the story of the widow, and think, yes, we understand what justice is. We want to be the widow. But here we have to recognize that the just judge, who is God, will render verdicts that will likely not correspond with what we thought we were asking for or with how we understood the world to work. And of course, this makes our endurance and our patience all the more challenged because we'll be asking God all along to bring about justice, to bring about righteousness as we understand it. And the God who is just and loving may say to us, but that is not it. And because I love you or because it is just, I will refrain from granting you your plea, no matter how certain we are that it is good or right or should be granted. And because God doesn't just give us what we ask for immediately, or even over some time, we can want to throw up our hands. But I think are invited to focus on instead is to recognize what we truly need is not God's justice to be applied to us, because that's going to lead to our own destruction. But if we are to be built and planted once more, if God is to sow us with seed, as we hear in Jeremiah as well, this vision of hope, what is required is mercy. What is required is a new covenant. What is required is for God to enter into us in ways that we no longer need instruction to understand God's perspectives. We need God's law written upon our hearts. We need an intimate relationship with God that will grant us an understanding we cannot have on our own. And of course, this is exactly what God does choose to grant to us. God shares with us this level of mercy in Christ. Jesus draws near to us as the judge, as our Lord, as the one who is righteous and proclaims mercy. In Christ, we experience this new covenant where God forgives our iniquity and remembers our sin no more. In Christ, we discover the utmost patience God has towards us. We have wandered. We have been faithless in the covenant, and yet God has remained faithful. God has drawn near to us anyway and has shared with us this gift of mercy, grace, and love. And it's because we have received this utmost patience at God's hands that we can in turn extend that utmost patience to our brothers and our sisters. Because we know how we have been forgiven in Christ, we too can forgive others when we know that they were wrong. Because we too have God bearing with us when we have persisted in paths that we should not have walked, and afterwards we think, how did it take so long to come out of this? Nevertheless, God did not give up on us. And so too, we can persist in walking alongside others when we know without a doubt they are wrong. Because God knew without a doubt we were wrong. And we can hold up to them the same grace, the same mercy, the same perspective of God's love throughout this journey. No matter how often they push back, no matter how often they think that they don't need what we are selling here, what we get to say is we have utmost patience. Not because of our ability to agree with them or to reason better, but because we know the patience God has shown to us in extending us grace, mercy, and love, even when we did not deserve it, even when we had itching ears, tickled ears that went other places, that heeded other voices, God still cried out to us to come back and encounter God's love and grace. And this is the same teaching we have been given, that we are to persist in with utmost patience. And I think as we begin to realize these things, these elements about how we don't really understand what justice is. We don't know right and wrong independent of God, that we have to rely upon God and God alone to show us God's goodness, God's grace, God's mercy, and to demonstrate to us what it means to be just and to live in just ways with our brothers and our sisters, to have utmost patience with one another. We begin to look at this parable a little differently. Often I think we want to see ourselves as the widow, and Jesus telling us, yes, persist in prayer and you will eventually get what you are asking for. But the widow persists in making demands of making the world just as she understands it to an unjust judge, to a judge who does not care about God or other people. And the only verdict he renders is one that gives himself greater sanity from not having to deal with this woman over and over and over again. That's the only reason she gets her plea. We don't even necessarily know that this is just. We hear that she's asking for justice on her terms. But I think what we're invited to recognize then is that we are not coming before an unjust judge when we come before God in prayer. We are coming before a just judge who is gracious, loving, merciful, who understands God, obviously, as being God's own self, and our neighbor better than we do, understands ourselves better than we do. And so our task then is not to make demands of God, as this widow does of the unjust judge, to say, sanction my viewpoint and my understanding of justice. Our goal is to say, we know you, Lord, are just and loving, and that you are already working in ways that bring about life, healing, and wholeness that would build and would plant us and that would allow us to grow and thrive as we need. And so, Lord, we want to persist in coming into your presence and listening to what you have to share with us. We do not want you to just sanction our perspective. We instead want to hear yours, Lord. Very different reality than what the widow experiences, because she has to deal with an unjust judge. And she has to know that the only way that she can ever get anything that might resemble justice is to demand it. We deal with a just judge who longs to dispense justice and mercy appropriately. And so we are invited to trust that that is exactly what God is doing, independent of our requests. Our goal is to listen to what God is saying and to heed what God is doing and to allow ourselves to recognize that, that is what true justice looks like. That is what true love, grace, mercy looks like. And as we draw near to this, to allow our own hearts and minds to be changed, that we may better understand righteousness, justice, grace, mercy, forgiveness, because we have been paying attention to the ways in which God is at work in this world as a just and loving judge. Because we've been paying attention to the ways in which Christ has been at work, extending God's gifts of grace and mercy, extending this new covenant. Indeed, we are drawn into the presence of such a just judge once more in this meal that we share today. Here, Christ enters in to show us what God's justice, righteousness, mercy, grace, and forgiveness look like. Here, we are drawn into this new covenant as we remember what Christ has done and continue to experience for ourselves in this moment what Christ continues to do to reconcile us to God and to one another, to draw us back into right relationship, to extend to us the utmost patience of God that says, yes, you have wandered, yes, you have thought and asserted your own perspectives over and above your neighbor. You have tried to overrule people's thoughts and actions by imposing upon them your own will. Even so, you are welcome at this table. Hear my will to extend grace, mercy, and love. Hear my will to make my love known for you in this world. And as we encounter this good news, we encounter what God has done for us in Christ, our Lord and our teacher, who has had utmost patience with us. We can only say in response for what God has shown to us, thanks be to God. Amen.